Welcome to Process This, a podcast for the sterile processing community. The Healthcare Sterile Processing Association, HSPA, invites you to log on, listen, and learn twice a month. Now it's time to process this with your host, clinical educator, John Wood.
Welcome to the Process This podcast. This is episode 107. We have a great show for you today. Today on the show, we have Hannah Schroeder from Pure Processing speaking with us. She has some great information and advice, so you need to stay tuned for this. Guess what? The HSPA Las Vegas Education Conference and Live Expo is practically here. It's knocking at the door. So if you're going to the conference, hey, stop by, visit me, visit Hannah with Pure Processing on the expo floor. We would both love to talk to you. We would both love to get to know you. So stop by. We have a full show for you today, so let's get going. Hannah, thank you for joining me on the podcast today.
Yes, thanks for having me, John. I'm excited to be here.
So in your opinion, how important is the layout of the work area, both in decontamination and on the clean side, to the success of the sterile processing department?
Yeah, I would say in short, it's invaluable. I previously was an education coordinator at a local trauma center, and I spent a lot of my time focused quite a bit on workflow impact. And one of the scenarios that comes to mind often actually has to do with my endoscope reprocessing team and how they went about their record keeping, specifically in decontamination. Our endoscope team actually had to walk away from their workstation in order to do any sort of record keeping. And this was even post paper record. So we were digital. And what we were identifying is our records were not real-time stamped. So we would see that a leak test and manual cleaning was happening within like 10 seconds of each other, rather than, you know, spaced out at that, you know, minute or so, and then, you know, go into the manual clean. So we weren't getting very good understanding of the actual like time impact manual cleaning had on our scopes. In addition to that, we had a lot of additional foot traffic for our technicians having to constantly go back and forth from their workstation to the computer that they were walking to, which was actually across the way from them. So really, it caused quite a bit of production bottlenecking in addition to just having a little inconsistent data. What we were able to do when we were designing our new space for specific to endoscope reprocessing was actually ensure we had computers at each phase of the process. So It was right there, right at the fingertips of our technicians, and it reduced that foot traffic down, but also really gave us a robust idea of the process and timelines when it came to our scope process from the time it was received to our space, the time it went up to storage. So we saw a lot of improvements in both efficiency and the ergonomic benefits for our technicians. Thinking about OSHA general duty clause, when the guidance there, it talks a lot about serious workplace hazards. And one of the things that is brought up is ergonomics specifically. Second, when we think about the science of ergonomics and what is the definition itself, it leads into both safety and efficiency. So thinking about those two concepts, we really do see the importance of ergonomics as it relates not only to the department, but also to our individuals. Ergonomic layouts don't only focus on the employee and how they interact with the job. It also is about the environment and how they're able to achieve compliance, just like I mentioned in the scenario a couple minutes ago. You know, in short, I would say ergonomic initiatives can be anything from proper body mechanics to the department layout, all the way to the type of technology that we're using. And it really is invaluable to the department's success and the impact it can have on our patient care. Ergonomics focuses on the human factor of our job. So understanding how the equipment and technology advancements support our teams and can also ease aspects of their job we're identifying that through the lens of ergonomics really keeps the cornerstone of our department in focus. And that is really, truly our technicians today.
So I read an article from Pure Processing that talked about three design elements to consider in the decontamination area. Can you speak to those elements and discuss why they are important?
Yeah, absolutely. So those three elements were location, equipment requirements, and safety. So to break down each of them specifically, talking about location, this is a safety initiative for both the general population, which can be our patients and our support staff, but it also is a requirement that encloses and separates decontam from other areas of the reprocessing department. So it allows for the proper air exchanges, pressure to so we can decrease contamination risk. It also encourages reduced foot traffic through those areas. You know, we know that in sterile processing and even in endoscope reprocessing, we have visitors, we have vendors, we have OR support staff that, you know, frequently come in either to aid and assist or to, you know, glean information, touch base. So having that separated space really provides a lot of safety when it comes to how our departments and our entire hospital staff and population interact with sterile processing itself. Second to that, location can also be associated with equipment and process layouts. Where equipment and processes occur within the reprocessing space is equally as important as the general location of the department and how it's accessed. And this can aid in workflow compliance with, you know, clear barriers such as walls, pass-through equipment, things that really divide what is clean versus dirty in the process, and supports the effort to eliminate that transfer of soiled equipment into the clean area, you know, without the skipping steps. The second would be reprocessing equipment requirements. So this can span anything from basin size requirements to specific flushing or inspection tools that comply with our current standards and IFUs. Thinking about how a job needs to be performed, understanding the steps it's going to require and how frequently it has to be done, and the time requirement to complete each task is all information that helps us kind of determine what type and even the quantity of equipment that we'll need to maintain steady productivity and progress. And then the third element that was touched on in that blog post was safety. So musculoskeletal disorders, more commonly known as MSDs, are easily linked to poor ergonomics in the workplace. However, we also want to consider chemistry exposures. We have chemical spills, sterilant exposures, and then similar things like that, that all speak to staff risk and safety precaution. Both our immediate and our long-term health in mind, we can plan for long-term sustainability for our teams. We all know that departments have a love-hate relationship with assignments such as decontamination. So, you know, have we ever asked our departments why and understand what the root cause is behind that lack of enthusiasm? It could very well be an ergonomic or a safety associated issue that, you know, could be rectified that might ease some of that angst or hesitation that comes with, you know, decontamination day for that technician. So sometimes you want to know what type of safety measures we need to take. What are those next steps that we need? I always encourage understand the standards and understand our guidelines. When we want to measure up against OSHA, CDC, our current national standards, and gain insight into what those focuses are so we know what we're measuring up against and kind of guide us to know how to prioritize some of the initiatives that we'll need to take in inside our departments.
Yeah, that's great. And I would say if anybody wants to kind of review that information, you can always go to Pure Processing and look up. They have excellent information, like these blogs and articles that you can review. So thank you for talking about that.
Yeah.
So during my sterile processing career, I've seen a lot of different decontamination areas. And honestly, no two areas, in my opinion, are the same, especially when it comes to your sinks. I've seen sinks that are no bigger than my bathroom sink. And I can't understand how people can wash instrumentation in that. Can you talk about what the ideal sink would look like and what problems can occur when you don't have the right equipment?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. The difference from one sterile processing or endoscope reprocessing department to the next, like, never fails to intrigue me. Each department really is unique and has its own need. So this is a great question. I really think when we talk about decontamination and our reprocessing sinks especially, we really need to think about the importance of where this is happening. Like, this is the very beginning of medical device reprocessing once it leaves point of use. So how that process begins can impact the medical device through the remainder of inspection and sterilization or disinfection. So when we consider manual cleaning, I think it's also important to remember that the quality of our manual process must be robust and sustainable. So someone might ask why. You know, we have a time and place for automated washers, ultrasonics, like there's been so many improvements. Why is something like the sink so important? Let's talk about the downtime. When we have a sink a washer that goes down, we hopefully have another that can sustain us. We might experience that bottleneck. We might get delayed processes, but we might have that backup. And in some scenarios, we don't have that backup at all, but we do have standards and we have IFUs, many IFUs that still provide instructions so we can maintain our cleaning protocols with manual cleaning only. So if our sink goes down or becomes unusable, there is no plan B. Automation right now in sterile processing is still very much there to support that manual process. When we think about like some of the features that we might want to consider for our reprocessing sinks, we want to think about safety and efficiency. We have technicians who are standing at those sinks for long periods of time. And so one of the first things I think about is a drain overflow prevention. I absolutely will be the first one to raise my hand and say, I got distracted and walked away from my filling sink and did not come back until I saw a stream walk run past mm-hmm. me. Like, I think anybody who's been in the department long enough knows that's not an uncommon occurrence. But in the wrong time or in the perfect moment, it can be a huge safety factor. Things like basin sizes, basins that are too deep, or sinks that aren't height adjustable can cause major strain on our technicians. But to your point, it can also be completely unfeasible to actually manually clean the equipment or devices in that sink basin. So there is a lot to be said about, you know, what the current standards talk about. We know ST91 does provide insight into a recommended base size. So knowing and that information really does help kind of initiate what are some of those top features we need to be thinking about in our sinks. Another one is organization and efficiency. My mom always used to tell us growing up, there's a place for everything and everything needs to be in its place. And I think this is really an important key lesson for sterile processing professionals. We are in a very repetitive yet very specialized job when it comes to sterile processing. So having our supplies consistently and readily available to us helps us keep pace with the demand of the job and aids in the efficiency of the work. And also it gives our technicians confidence that they can and are able to comply with what is exactly is being asked of them at that station. So having things available for like leak testers, brushes, lint-free cloths, forced air, whatever it is that they need specific to their department and the medical devices they're reprocessing, really can play a huge part in the morale and how they're engaging with that workspace. And then finally, obviously, we're in a very fast-paced environment, no matter what size department you're in. So having the opportunity to reduce any sort of bottlenecking that occurs is always going to be, you know, at the top of your priority list. So you really want to know what your peak volume and plan for that. That AMI ST79 actually speaks to that and recommends setting up your department to support your peak volumes at any given point in the day. So it's important to have the correct type and quantity of equipment. That will also help reduce the bottlenecking. We know that certain instructions for use require specific extended soak times or longer ultrasonic cycles. So that all can play a role in how efficiently instruments move from our decontam space into prep and pack.
Well, Hannah, you really hit home when you talked about the drain overflowing or sink overflowing. I don't know how many times back when I was a scrub tech and kind of doing decontam also at a surgery center that I left that sink running and just flooded the entire area more than one occasion. And they always knew who it was. They're like, John, what are you doing?
That man. Was me at one of ours. They're like, yep, Hannah flooded the decontam area again.
Really? So it can be a challenge to work or manage a busy sterile processing department and keep current with the ever-changing standards and recommendations. Can you talk about some ways folks can stay compliant with the standards? Are there any key areas you feel are problematic?
Yeah, so I guess I'll be fully transparent. My answer is going to be kind of unique, and it really has a lot to do with our awareness as professionals and then as department leaders. The first thing that I recommend is know your mindset. Understand that compliance is going to be a continuous process. New studies are always coming out. New technology advancements are being launched. There's improvements. There's safer ways to process. So there's always going to be a constant evolve to what we know to be compliance. So certainly don't be disheartened. It really is part of the sterile processing, career and being part of, the healthcare industry. So having that mindset of constant future and evolutionary growth, I think really helps with keeping the momentum for constant change and understanding how to get the buy-in for that ongoing and repetitive initiative that it is. So second, be strategic. Be intimately aware of what your department needs and then how to prioritize what's going to help your department in that immediate time, and then in the long term, really does kind of help aid in that overwhelm. We can only take out an elephant one bite at a time. So one of the ways that I did that as an educator was understanding the event reporting. What are some of the trends and findings that we're seeing continuously? Running audits. This can be formal, informal observation of what's going on and how your department or staff are engaging with their work, with different parts of the process. And then overall, just spending time with your team, asking questions and doing the work alongside them so that you yourself can understand exactly what's happening in certain moments of the day or in certain parts of the process. Just getting that intimate involvement with everything happening. It's an overwhelming department. It's huge. Things are always changing, going on. There's different buttons. There's different noises. This sterilizer makes this noise when it's done, but it makes this noise when there's an alarm going off. So just being aware of some of that stuff too helps understand kind of where your department's mindset is and what they're dealing with. Keep pulse on new trends. Right now in sterile processing, we're in a really great time of having information available in so many different platforms. So webinars, conference, articles, blog posts, and podcasts are all available. And so there's great ways to get the message and understand kind of where are we now and where are we heading. And that will really speak to being able to measure up against what your findings are in your own department and help with that prioritization. When we talk about the idea of what can be problematic, one of the things I always watched for were what I'm going to quote unquote, and you can't see me do that now in the podcast, but it's watching for those small inconveniences, the workarounds that your team has to create in order to do their job. This is where gaps usually are going to occur. A misstep might happen and overall safety and efficiency are going to start to lack. So those present mild inconveniences that we are seeing now could eventually lead to a bigger problem in the end. So when we can identify them early, those are usually key indicators that there might be something amiss.
So equipment customization seems like a luxury item in sterile processing. How can customizing your sinks or workstations benefit the end user? Can you give us some examples?
Yeah, so first we want to know, and I would like to note, customized equipment, in true definition, is being tailored specifically to the department's needs and considers their layout and their workflow. So customization gives us an opportunity to design anything from very specific size to understanding the type of work being done, and then tailoring that design to match how the work's going to get completed. So we talked about just a few questions ago, every department's different. Every sink we walk to looks different, is interacted with in a different way. So customization really speaks to that truth in SPD right now. Having features like improved workspace in the way of maybe opened counter stops because we now have pegboards availability, or how we orientate our equipment, or high density shelving is another, big space saver in sterile processing as a whole. So how do we apply this specific to sterile processing equipment? So speaking directly to increased work area, that can be twofold. First, it can be the station size. This goes for both the sink and our prep and pack workstations. Some of the areas that we have to fit these stations into might include an obstruction like a bump out or a pillar. So trying to retrofit can limit very useful real estate and potentially limit other necessities and equipment location. So having the ability to customize to what's already available to us really does lead into impacting how the next, you know, step in the process can occur when we're talking about design. The second element of workspace compatibility is ensuring we utilize the open space. So think about walls, under the counter space, things like pull-out counters or pegboards, high-density shelving, like I mentioned earlier, are really unique ways that SPD and endo departments can make the most of their often pre-existing floor plans. Readily available supplies, I know I kind of bring that up frequently, but it really does. It has a time and place, and it does reduce foot traffic. It can improve time and motion initiatives. So having the ability to adapt our work areas to the task helps to eliminate questions and provides clarity into what the expectations are at that phase of the process. So this should include supplies that are available and what order they're organized into and where in the setup they're going to be located. Should all speak to the story of that particular sterile processing department and its compliance. Second, customization lead into it aids in compliance. So for example, AMI ST91 has a direct recommendation on the basin size for endoscope reprocessing. Being able to customize a basin size ensures your compliance initiatives are going to be met. Other compliance initiatives can include workstation or sink setup based on the type of instrument or medical device being reprocessed. So we're not only just talking about, you know, layouts anymore. Now we're talking about, you know, very specific steps in medical device reprocessing. Endoscope reprocessing has different requirements than orthopedic instruments for cleaning and inspection. So having customization that can drill down to the type of equipment and the supply set up for use in that work area includes visual inspection or cleaning verification tools and where they're placed, all are part of, you know, an ergonomic initiative. I can think of a customer I recently had the opportunity to work with, and their goal was actually to lean out their workflow process and reduce areas of cross traffic in the reprocessing space that had kind of just developed over time as equipment got brought in. So they had the ability to do a renovation, and with their customization of their sink and consolidating some of the supply locations, they actually got to open up important and usable space for better compliance in other areas of the endoscope reprocessing process. So the ability to customize one or two things in your department really can open up a wide variety of possibilities when it comes to design, layout, and even being able to do things you didn't think you were going to be able to do initially. I would say customization really does have a time and space in reprocessing, especially as we continue to see more precision in our reprocessing practices and standards.
Hey, let's pause our conversation for just a second. Are you looking to get a CE for this episode? Well, you are in the right place. To receive the CE for this episode, simply click on the link in the episode notes, or you can log on to the MyHSPA website. Make sure you use the code STAFFSAFETY. Again, the code for this episode and this episode only is STAFFSAFETY. Now, back to our conversation.
Can you explain, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, we touched on this, but can you explain some of the ergonomic benefits of having the right equipment?
Yeah, sure. So the answer is a little bit more bulleted and short, but consistency. It leads to improved compliance. Safety is another one. And through improved technology and automation, we can improve performance and results. Automation allows for that repetitive practice over and over and over again from 7 o'clock in the morning until 7 o'clock at night. And like we've been kind of talking about through the length of the podcast is compliance. Ergonomics can ease the human factors like fatigue, body strain, and overall health. So ergonomics can also be tied directly to compliance, such as automated record keeping or flushing systems that aid in meeting that time, volume, and pressure requirement.
purchasing equipment in sterile processing can be a really big deal. For some folks, it seems like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to buy new equipment. But when purchasing new equipment in the department, what questions should folks consider prior to making this investment?
Yeah, absolutely. I was been there, done that not that long ago. So one of the first things I always did for myself was know the standards. How are you presently compliant? Where do you need to improve? And then what are some of those big ticket items that need to be brought in new altogether? Like, what's going to be that huge learning curve that the department's going to face with this equipment purchase? So kind of second, you want to understand what your needs and limitations are. This can include running audits that answer questions about gaps in your process that you want to close, knowing how your employees are interacting with their current space, and then what's on their wish list, and match that against, what are, the strategic planning goals for that year, that 2 year, that 5 year plan. And that kind of helps you start to prioritize. So once you're able to better understand your environment, your goals, and then what those needs are going to be to achieve, that's when you really are able to kind of enter into that market space and understand and do the research on what are some of the products or solutions being offered, and how does that match up against what you're looking to achieve. So one of the things I always do is talk to your network. Ask the question, who's recently purchased or recently had a similar goal and achieved it? And, what's their story? What were some do's and don'ts? What were some of the benefits that came with it? What were some of the challenges that were faced? And then understand what the life cycle of the product is that you're researching. So most of the time, especially for larger equipment, that purchase has to hold up to future growth. It's not going to be a 2 to 5 year replacement. You're talking maybe a decade or longer before we consider, an update to that or an upgrade. So something like a large purchase really does have to maintain relevance for the years to come. Understand how specific features measure up to the standards and compliance. When researching a product, understand what the vendor can offer. What does the support look like before, during, after the purchase and installation? Are there any big changes that can come with this, like a learning curve for the department, like I spoke to earlier? Understanding, like, our technicians have muscle memory to work through. Old habits do die hard. So who's going to be there to support the leader and the team through some of those growing pains? So obviously, like, I answer kind of that question from an education standpoint, as my role former when I was doing a lot of that research was. So that's kind of where I leaned in.
Yeah, you've given us some great advice, and I like that. Do you have any final thoughts for our listeners today?
Yeah, I would say, keep in mind that ergonomics and standard compliance takes creativity. When it comes to the space we're working with, there is really no cookie cutter approach. There isn't a tried and true method to achieve ergonomic compliance when it comes to our departments. Everybody's slightly different. Everybody's goals are, vary. The needs change from, location to location. So bear it in mind that you absolutely have freedom to understand what it's going to look like for your space. We at Pure Processing do have an ergonomic checklist available on our website. And Okay. Just feel free to check that out and download it. And that's a great starting point if you're unsure or never done an ergonomic audit of your space. It's a great tool to kind of help you get started. And then if you're interested, we have a 1CE approved course that we just recently released that dives deep into what ergonomics is and how to plan for it in your department. Very interactive with real life circumstances and scenarios that have been faced. And finally, we look forward to connecting at HSPA with our SPD professionals. So come visit booth 518, say hi, I'll be there. So if anyone has an ergonomic story they'd love to share, I would love to hear it and kind of talk SPD with you all.
Well, that's great. Hannah, thank you so much for your time and your insight and sharing with our listeners today. It was so great to have you on the show.
Thanks so much for having me. I've enjoyed it.
Well, that music means only one thing. Yep, it's true. We are out of time for today. Thank you, Hannah, for sharing with us today great information.
And again, go see Hannah and the Pure Processing folks in Las Vegas on the expo floor. HSPA episode 107 is in the books. We are done for today. Thanks for sticking with us. In case you didn't know, each episode we do on the podcast is on demand. So when you're ready for us, we'll be there for you. As always, stay classy, and I hope to see you in Vegas.